Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Shazam!
Well, it doesn't work for me.
Shazam!
I've not been found worthy of his powers, so...
You have to be found worthy?
Yeah, like you can't just say Shazam and possess, like, the powers of the wizard Shazam. That would be preposterous.
Shazam!
Anytime I got into any kind of situation or it was like, oh, well, I'm going out to the beach. I don't want this. I want a superhero. Shazam! Boom! Hey! What's up, guys? What's up?
So you, let me understand this. You.
Right.
You were chosen to see this before the rest of the world. Just you.
I don't know that I was particularly chosen. Fandango was doing an early screening event, and I went through them to book my seat. But I mean, from a certain perspective, yes, I could see someone. No, I couldn't. I was not chosen.
So was it sold out?
Honestly, I don't think they did a good job of like advertising that it was doing this.
Had I not been at another job.
It was only two showings, a 4 o'clock and a 7 o'clock, 2 weeks early. Like I just kind of happened to stumble upon it and just go, wait, 2 weeks early. Okay. I'll try. I'm in.
Yeah. So this is what I know about Shazam. And then you can go into some minutiae about how I'm wrong about most of it.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Shazam. Shazam himself. He's a genie.
Nope.
He's a basketball player.
Nope. Kazam.
Kazam.
That's Kazam.
A genie basketball player.
Nope. That as far as I know, doesn't exist.
Yet.
Like, that's not.
Yet.
I can't. I mean, I only know a handful of genies and. None of them were.
But they could be.
I mean, I'm not saying that they've never played, but I mean, we're talking about the pro level, the college level. Like,
it is March Madness, so.
I'm just asking. Like, what's your definition of college or you know, pro
but,
or?
You know, Adam, aren't we all always in college? Because we're all continuing our education.
Well, I meant playing at the collegiate level. That's what I was curious about.
I see. So, Shazam, sorry, not Shazam. The story is, you got this kid whose name I don't know. And don't
Billy?
Tell me yet.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to know. You got this kid whose name I don't know. And he is a bitter, sarcastic, but super cool foster kid. Why he's a foster kid, I don't know. He is fostered with a family with another foster kid. And I'll say foster kid a few more times. And he is somehow chosen for being worthy. And when he says Shazam, the name of the genie who may or may not play basketball.
He's a wizard.
He's a wizard.
you're thinking of Shaquille O'Neal's Kazam. There is no genie in this movie. Shazam is the name.
Wizard, Harry.
Is the name of the wizard.
Okay. So the wizard genie gives him the power to be. A superhero will list what he can do later, but he gets to be a superhero. But essentially, this is Tom Hanks big with superpowers.
That's pretty reasonably accurate.
And I think that Zachary Levi, just from the trailer, is delightful. I know him from Chuck as Chuck. And he was, and I couldn't remember, Entangled, which I'm sure you've seen about 500 times.
I've seen it more than probably
yes.
An adult male should have. Yeah.
Entangled, he is the male lead, name escapes me, but he sings.
John Tangled, I believe was his name.
John Tangled. No, that's Smoke Monster, John Tangled. So he's that guy, so I know he sings, which makes him more appealing to me. Just want to throw that out there. And he has his own line of dungarees.
That's...
Levi's.
Are you sure you didn't...
I just said...
That last one sounds made up.
Are you not wearing? No, you're not wearing Levi's.
I can't verify everything that you said, but he is delightful in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I actually read like, and when I will occasionally refer to him as Captain Marvel because that was the name of the character for years. Like at one point, Captain Marvel comics, the DC version. Outsold Superman comics Like if that
so
gives you...
same origin story, but instead of
Shazam is the name of the wizard that gave him the powers.
I cannot hear the word wizard without hearing your wizard, Harry, and then followed by the whole Loki wizard exchange in Ragnarok.
I'm just saying though, like the Captain Marvel was a the way that I was introduced to the character, or like I guess as I got older, and I've seen him as a more serious character. In the comic books, like, he has fought Superman to stalemates. Like, if that gives you any idea of his power level. At one point, like, in a comic book called Kingdom Come, they actually use Captain Marvel, or Shazam, to actually defeat Superman. He keeps calling the Shazam, the lightning bolt that transforms him,
mm-hmm.
he keeps calling it down whenever Superman is like fighting him, and he's striking Superman essentially with a magic lightning bolt, which hurts him.
Hurts Superman.
Well, Superman is in, he has a vulnerability to magic. Like, you can shoot all the bullets you want at him, but you can hurt him with magic, which is the reason why Captain Marvel was a good foil for him.
Mm-hmm.
But Disney, because of their purchase of Marvel, basically, as I understand it, they could call him Captain Marvel in the comic books, but they could not call him Captain Marvel in any of the auxiliary media, like
now,
video
in,
games, so on and so forth.
In the DC Captain Marvel comic books, the not a genie wizard.
It's not just a wizard. It's not a genie wizard. Like,
but was he called Shazam?
Yes,
there?
Shazam has always been the name of the wizard, and what he had, what Billy Batson, who was Captain Marvel, has to say in order to transform into Captain Marvel, or
does
as
Shazam
he is now
have
called,
a brother named Kazam?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
There again, no genies. Just now, he does have a like family of other. It's the Marvel. Like, there's like a whole bunch of other Marvel characters, and by Marvel characters, I don't mean Iron Man and Captain America, but like there was a younger boy, like a sister, like there was a dog. Like, the popularity of this character caused them to create just a multitude
Wait a minute.
Of spin-off
there,
characters.
There was a Marvelous Dog character?
Yeah, I'm telling you, like,
is that like the Bionic Dog?
Captain Marvel was remarkably popular. Like, in the same way that DC eventually spun Superman into like Supergirl, there mm-hmm. was Crypto the Super Dog. You have like, I think it's a Bippo the Super Monkey. I kid you not. There was Comet.
I thought Bippo was a lighter.
I think that's Bic.
Zippo,
yeah.
Okay.
Comet, the super horse.
I was delayed in hearing the S and the E on that word. I was like, what?
Like, this is the, like, probably circa 1950. Like, the 50s DC comic books are really strange.
Hmm.
Like, just, if I were to, like, give you like a synopsis of like 12 of like their weirdest story. Like, Marvel Comics skips over all that because they more or less like are started in the 60s and they're very science fiction related. Like, if you'll look at like movies from that time period, you can see where they're being influenced. But like, DC predates them by several decades, with Batman and Superman both premiering like in the 1920s and 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it's almost kind of funny that they would eventually bring this character back into kind of like the limelight, a character who probably 60 years ago was like ridiculously popular.
Right.
And you know what, that last time that somebody tried to bring a character that was really popular like 60, 70 years ago, we got the Lone Ranger. Happily, this film turns out much, much better.
So who does Johnny Depp play in this one?
There is no Johnny Depp. I'm mm-hmm. guessing probably talks broke down when he couldn't wear a weird hat in the movie. And he's like, well, I won't be a savvy. I won't be doing it. I'm guessing. I just assume that's one of his contractual obligations.
Have hat will travel. Okay, so just for fun, let's actually review the movie you've seen, the actual film, and tell me. So it starts, I guess, with you meet Billy Batson.
You actually are meet the film. Whenever you drop right in, you're actually meeting who will become the supervillain. Well, yeah, he's a supervillain.
Not just a villain.
No, he's
supervillain.
Well,
that's odd.
The villain. Mm-hmm. Is also, like, tempted by the wizard Shazam. He does...
Oh, wait a minute. The wizard Shazam is a temptress?
No, he tempts him with, like, power. More or less, he wants... If he is going to be transferring his power, because he's, like, thousands of years old, he wants to make sure that the individual that he gives them to mm-hmm. is worthy of those powers and won't, like, you know, enact revenge or, like, use it for, like, this,
evil.
That, or the... Yeah. And whenever he does that... The boy at the beginning fails, but he obsesses over it for the rest of his life. He wants to find a way to get back there. And through within the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie, we basically realize that, like, he is going to do that. Now, whenever he comes into it, instead of getting the powers of Shazam, he has basically turned the seven deadly sins into statues. And he is keeping them prisoner there so that they don't, you know, do bad things. They're the seven deadly sins, obviously.
Well, gas, we all know.
Obviously, they're doing bad stuff.
Right, but they're in statue form.
But the wizard is growing older, and eventually he is going to grow so weak he cannot protect the world against them.
This kind of sounds like as Odin gets weaker, Hela gets stronger. And
yeah.
Can break through her entrapment.
But yeah, like, well, I mean, it's mythology, mm-hmm. more or less. So, I mean, they're going to be some carryover with it.
Mm-hmm.
The film sounds very serious and almost Shakespearean. But the kid that Billy Batson is played by a younger boy, and Zach Levy plays him whenever he's like adult Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
And this, if for again, for something that was originating in such a you know, decades ago, this taps into modern culture and like the mind mm-hmm. of I've got a couple of boys myself, so. I understand their mindsets.
34, I think.
When Billy Batson first gets his powers, he tells one of his foster brothers. So naturally, they start making YouTube videos about them testing his powers.
Which is in the trailer and makes perfect sense to me. It's like, can you do this?
I
don't know.
You're seeing like just a sample of it there. Like they like just go into a, like they play it to full comic effect.
I would watch that channel.
And a lot of people do in the context of the film. And the reactions, like Zach Levy is very convincing that he is a boy trapped in a man's body.
Mm-hmm.
His reactions to, like, finding out that he's bulletproof, like, whenever they realize that he looks like, you know, a 20, 30-year-old man, naturally, he goes to try to buy beer.
Well, yeah.
And the friend points out to him, and he's like, dude, you don't have a fake ID. And he goes, I don't need a fake ID. I am the fake ID. Look at me. Look at me.
Nice.
It's just, like I said, The film is just it's having fun, like mm-hmm. It's not doing it in like kind of a wink and a nod to the audience kind of way, but like you can tell like they are just having a ball.
So this strikes me as giddy good fun, just like the first Guardians, and the second and Ragnarok. It's just giddy good fun superhero wonderfulness.
Like it's just if you're looking at where the DC cinematic universe starts with, like, more or less with Man of Steel, it's a very dour, like, very serious. Like, nobody is having a lot of fun, and there's not a lot of bright colors. Superman is traditionally a character that, like, one that inspires, like, hope and so on and so forth with people.
But he's like the accountant of the superheroes. He's necessary. He's good at it. He's very powerful, and yet boring.
Well, I
stereotypical accountant.
I think that is lays more with the writer. Like,
yes.
The original Superman film is fantastic. The Richard Donner 1978 original. Superman 4, who has the same actor, a lot of the same cast, vastly different writer, vastly different director, and it's a train wreck. Like, it's a train wreck into a dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. Like, so you I think you have to quantify that by making sure that you understand if you don't get the right person on, like, Francis Ford Coppola, he's a brilliant director. Would he have made a good Shazam movie? I've never seen him do like out and out comedy, so I can't really tell you how he'd do it, but it doesn't seem to be his forte.
I would like to see the Coen brothers do their take on a Shazam movie.
I think this, well, yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
I'd also watch them retell, like, you know, the story of the Odyssey, like, via, you know.
Multiple times.
I'd watch them do roughly anything.
Right. But this, you were vastly entertained, and I'm assuming soundtrack is good as well?
Soundtrack's it doesn't stick out, like, in the same way that Captain Marvel soundtrack or the mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy, but, like, it's, I think that's because it's a little bit geared toward the youth of today, which I am not. So it didn't speak to me in the same way that, say...
So it's all auto-tuned one note?
Not all of it. Okay. But like I said, it's very kind of up-to-the-moment, like, kind of music.
Mm.
And this and Aquaman and, to a certain extent, Wonder Woman really seem like the right step for the DC cinematic universe. Like... people are enjoying themselves in these movies. Like,
right.
Aquaman may not have had, you know, like a solid story or any of that, but like Jason Momoa, he's having a ball.
Yeah.
And like you want to just see where that guy goes next. Like, that's the strength of Aquaman.
I want to see him walk down the street, turn around, and come back.
Right. Well, again, you and I watched Aquaman for very different reasons. But
and then I want to see the guy that plays dad do the same thing.
Sure, yeah, right, I guess. All right, we can do that.
And my needs were met. So I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that Shazam ends leaving it to be sequelified.
More or less, at this point, you don't make one-off superhero movies. Like, anymore. I'm trying to think of one that, like, besides, like, say... He-Man back mm-hmm. in the day. There was only one of those, but it wasn't because like they didn't want to. It's just no one saw it in theaters, and if you can't make money off it, you're obviously not going to sequelize it. But superheroes are the by a way far and large the most profitable kind of film you can make now.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not setting up two or three films down the road, or at the bare minimum planning a trilogy, like, I'm betting Warner Brothers or Marvel or whomever, like, they're not taking your meeting. Like, unless you can just be like, can we churn at least five out
now,
of this?
Would you say it was The Matrix, or was it Fellowship that... I don't recall if when The Matrix was first made, if there was always a plan to have the other two not as good films, but... when Fellowship was, the plan was we're doing the whole thing as three.
Matrix, it was in the back of their mind. Mm-hmm. Whenever they shot Reloaded and Revolutions, they did shoot them back to back. Back to the Future 2 and 3.
I was going to say, maybe we should say that was the originator.
Back to the Future 2 and 3, I think, really popularized it, but it wasn't a foreign concept. You had the Three Musketeers film.
Mm-hmm.
The Salkinds, whenever they did the original Superman, actually shot the intent was to save money by shooting Superman and Superman 2 at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But they went drastically over budget and behind schedule, so they stopped making Superman 2 and said we should probably finish the first one and get it into theaters, which is the reason why Gene Hackman only appears in parts of it, because they couldn't get him to come back to film the rest of his stuff in Superman 2. So you'll have scenes where, like, Margot Kidder's, like, hair is, like, different in different scenes. Like, if you're watching how they edit it, like, it's really kind of an odd, because they shoot the rest of the movie nearly 3 years later.
Mm.
But I think Fellowship was the first time you actually did a, like, Fellowship had not been released in theaters. So if Fellowship of the Ring had been a box office dud, they already have Two Towers and Return of the King, like, in the can.
Mm-hmm.
They would have just, I mean, basically have wasted $267 million to shoot the third, which isn't bad when you look at how that trilogy turned out.
Right.
But had New Line have had a dud, they would have had a massive, like, probably crippling, like, that would have shut down that studio.
You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested Movie Reviews from High Atop the Henson Oakley Podcast Center with Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens. I only like to hear the word dud if it is preceded by the word milk.
Yeah. Who don't hate a milk dud?
I love it. So, recommended.
Oh, yes. But like I said, if you are looking for like the Nolan, like Batman films.
No.
If you're looking for the Tim Burton Batman Returns.
No one is.
This is not those movies.
If you're looking for super fun entertaining.
If you saw like Batman versus Superman and you're like, wow, this is a little heavy, like to go with my buttered popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
This is not that film. Like the movies that DC is making now are a lot lighter. They don't necessarily like try to tie themselves into the other four movies that have came out like that year. They're really kind of satisfied with being their own movie. Now, granted, they're still looking at, you know, Shazam 2 or Shazam 3 or I think Wonder Woman 1984. They're still looking at sequelizing them, but it's not in the same way that, like, Marvel just wants to interconnect everything. Like, if this movie turns a profit and it was considerably cheaper than, say, Aquaman was, I seeing this film, the advance buzz that it's getting, and it's doing at least as well as Aquaman did in its advance screenings,
mm-hmm.
I can see this turning into a hit for DC and seeing another Shazam movie 2-3 years down the road. It's a lot of fun, and the greatest special effect in the movie is honestly Zach Levy playing essentially him playing a child.
And you know what that's called?
Tom Hanks in it.
Acting. He is an actor.
There's no doubt in my mind, like, he is a 14-year-old kid.
That's
like,
awesome.
He exudes it throughout the movie, like his reactions to things. Like, you completely buy this. Again, when I sat down and explained to you that a wizard gave, like, a young boy powers so that, like, he could defeat the seven. Like, it's a wildly preposterous sounding just anything. But when you actually like see it cohese into this film, you completely buy that reality. And like, especially films like this, or like if like in Liar Liar, when you had to buy the conceit that this lawyer couldn't lie for an entire day, you have to be able to buy into that concept or the movie doesn't work. You have to have that general conceit, and it's usually a fantastic one. You know, a man can bounce bullets off his chest. A lawyer can't lie. Like, any of those things. If it doesn't work, the movie doesn't work. And this was more or less, it was sitting on the shoulders of Zach Levy. And like I said, knocks it out of the park. The surrounding film isn't necessarily as epic as, say, Aquaman or Wonder Woman or even Justice League was.
Sometimes I just want to be entertained.
But it doesn't have to be. Like I said, especially this reminded me, if one of my boys got superheroes and told his brother about it, this is exactly what I would expect them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and like I said, at the end of the day, it's fun. It is a lot of fun.
So you're thinking this is going to make a few gajillion dollars for them then?
Just a couple jillion.
Yeah.
Not
the actual release date is
2 weeks.
In two more weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think they're going to change anything in these next 2 weeks. But I was well pleased with what I saw as a fan of Captain Marvel when I was a kid, or Shazam as he's called now.
Mm-hmm.
I was satisfied with this depiction of the character. And again, at the end of the day, like, to say nothing of other superhero films, when I left the theater, I was entertained, which really is what you need to do.
Exactly.
bare minimum.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if this is your plan, but I'm going to tell you the movie you're seeing next is Us.
Okay, I figured.
Yeah, Us. Because Us, I think, surprised everyone by making $70 million its opening weekend.
I don't think anybody is surprised that Jordan Peele's movie did well. I think they're surprised it did this well. I want to say the budget was somewhere around $20 million. Mm-hmm. And you're just talking about the domestic opening.
Yes.
This film is already $50 million to the good in 3 days. This is the guy that's putting together the new Twilight Zone. If you watched Key and Peele back in the day on Comedy Central, these guys are genuine. Well, in this Jordan Peele, I keep wanting to add Key to that, even though he's not doing that. Jordan Peele is just a legitimate talent. Mm-hmm. Now, in front of, behind, on his, it's not a word processor.
I shouldn't say that. It is.
This is the reason. I don't think he's writing it on a word processor.
Maybe he is. But yes, I really want to make sure that you see that one next.
That is going to be my next effort.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much. Shazam, the movie to go and see when it actually comes out for everyone else, not just this private screening for Adam.
And I actually think you're supposed to scream it when the title card does come up. It has an exclamation mark.
Oh.
So it's not just Shazam, it's Shazam! Yeah, I think if I'm reading it correctly, and it's capitalized, I'm just saying, texting etiquette, you should probably scream it every time you say it.
Shazam!
If you're just telling a friend that you're going to see it, make sure that you're what are you doing Friday? I was going to go see Shazam! Just make sure and make sure that they don't know that you're about to scream.
I'm in on that. But thank you so much, and thank you for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.